You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Julian Marshall with NewsHour. The people of Syria now know that President Obama wants to launch military strikes against their country. That is, if he gets congressional approval. And that, in Mr. Obama's words, such an operation could happen tomorrow, next week, or in the near future. Although the congressional debate is not expected to take place until the week of September the 9th. So how has that affected the mood of the residents of Damascus? The BBC's Jeremy Bowen is in the Syrian capital.
Well, I think that there'll be some relief here among individuals who are concerned that there might even be a military strike this weekend. I think that there'll be people within the regime who'll say, well, now we've got more time to make plans, move sensitive military equipment, because they have a date, they have a deadline, because they know that they'll know that the US Congress goes back to work a week Monday. And they'll find out the time of that debate, and they'll know that there won't be military action before that. So they will be able to keep going with what they're doing until then, and they'll know that if that vote passes, there will probably be an American attack very soon afterwards. Essentially, they have some notice, and I think that will be good for them. I actually spoke to somebody who's well-connected in the regime, and he said to me, we're just convinced that Obama will lose the vote. He said, even offered to bet me. He said, I bet you Obama will lose the vote, he said, because Congress will see sense. They'll realize, he said, that the regime here is fighting Al-Qaeda, who are prominent in the armed opposition, and Al-Qaeda are, of course, a big enemy of the United States. So, he said, they will see sense, as the British House of Commons, he would say, saw sense by not voting to attack a country, a regime, which is fighting one of the big enemies of the West, Al-Qaeda. That's the logic that I'm hearing here.
So that's the view of officials within the government, but residents of the city, ordinary Syrians, will take some comfort, as you suggested, from this idea that such an attack is not now imminent.
Well, a bit of comfort, but don't forget, a week isn't very long. And I think that Obama is playing clever politics, because he recognized that there was a growing calls for within the Congress for their chance for input for a vote on this. And he also, from the point of view of his own political beliefs, found a way of using language that rooted what he's contemplating doing in the language of legality, of legitimacy, even though technically speaking, I believe, taking this kind of action without a UN enforcement resolution from the Security Council is actually a breach of international law. He couched it in terms of legality, which every American will recognize. And so it's a shrewd argument. And he also said things like, it'll protect Israel. That will play very well in the Congress. He said as well, what do we do if we have other dictators? What do we do about genocide? And he made all those points, and he will develop those arguments, and he will, as the, you know, to use the American phrases here, he will, they'll work the phones, they'll use the bully pulpit of the presidency to try to get that, to win the argument, and learning something perhaps from Prime Minister Cameron in Britain, who called the House of Commons back for an emergency session. Instead, Obama is saying, you come back when you finish your holidays, which is a week Monday, and then talk about it. In other words, that gives him a week to win the argument.
That was the BBC's Jeremy Bowen in Damascus, and we're now joined from the Syrian capital by Ahmed. He's a resident there. He's an opponent of President Assad's government and had supported military strikes. And what's your reaction to President Obama's decision to seek approval from the US Congress?
No harm if Mr. Obama wants to have more support from the Congress. What we need is to finish our dilemma, our crisis in Syria. If Mr. Obama will help the Syrian people, it would be very good for us, because we are suffering for a long time now, and there is no end for it as we see, unless there is an intervention from the Western countries. in spite of the UK voting not to participate in the intervention. But actually, if Mr. Obama or President Obama will do it, it will be very much welcomed for the Syrian people.
Can you understand why President Obama has wanted to do this, to get the approval of Congress?
Yeah, because he will be more comfortable for having support, and there is no one to blame him in the future if something happens. But for us, we want to have the finish. We want to have something to end our nightmare in Syria.
And you believe, do you, that US military strikes would make a difference, even though President Obama says they will be limited and they are simply meant to act as a deterrent against the use of chemical weapons by the Syrian government in the future? He's not seeking to change the balance of power in Syria.
Yeah, I understand and realize that he is not going to topple President Bashar Assad. But actually, any help, any push for us in our tendency to bring the change to Syria would be welcomed. If he is to stop, to make the regime aware about the missiles, those are fired from the with the Scud missiles. If he is to hide them and to be engaged in hiding them here and there, it will be it will give time for the Syrians as not to receive lots of the Scuds on the other missiles, let us say. Any push or any share in fighting this regime would be welcome to the Syrian people.
Ahmed, many thanks for that. That was Ahmed, a resident of Damascus and opponent of President Assad's government. Also on the line now, Bassam Abu Abdallah, director of the Damascus Centre for Strategic Studies. He's supported the government's opposition to US military intervention. And the United States, a democracy, and President Obama seeking congressional approval for military strikes against your country. Is this something to be applauded?
I think President Obama is going back now, one step back, because the question of attacking Syria is complicated for him. He discovered that there is a lot of difficulties in Europe, inside the United States, and especially the last step from the British Parliament in London, in France, in Germany. Beside that, I will comment just very fast that I don't know who spoke from Damascus. Maybe he is expressing his opinion, but nobody has the right to speak on behalf of the Syrian people.
Okay.
Either me.
Well, he was just speaking on behalf of the Syrian people.
Syrian people. Nobody, I think, will accept aggression to his country except who is working as agent to the intelligence foreign powers.
Let's leave that aside. I think Ahmed was expressing a personal
his opinion.
Okay. But I want to hear your views. President Obama is still absolutely convinced that the Syrian government carried out chemical weapons attacks against civilians in those Damascus suburbs earlier this month. He wants to attack your country in order to deter you from doing that again, but he wants congressional approval for that.
I think that he is convinced, it's his opinion, and Colin Powell, 10 years ago, he was convinced that Iraq has a mass destruction weapons. Anyway, if he is confident, and he said that it's horrible, it's the first crime in the 21st century, okay, it's a public opinion issue. It's not a decision of President Obama or his intelligence agencies. Okay, this issue is important for us as a Syrian, for British people, for American people, please let him to show us his confidential or his confidence that he has information. I believe, and I challenged President Obama, John Kerry, all American administration, they have nothing, absolutely. We believe, and we know our army, and we know who used. Today, there is information in Associated Press, I think. I believe that there is a third party who want to destroy any possibility for a political solution in Syria. And I think America is interested in that because they postponed it many times, Geneva second conference. They don't want that because they want to have another Syria. Syria, what America wants is a puppet in the hand of the West, which nobody will accept that. Because of that, I will say that America have nothing to do. If they have, please let's have a press conference and to show us in the world, not only in Syria.
Okay, Bassam Abu Abdallah, director of the Damascus Center for Strategic Studies and supporter of President Assad. Iran is Syria's most important regional ally, providing military support and most recently fighters from its Lebanese proxy Hezbollah. So how is Iran likely to react to a US military strike against Syria? Iran's foreign minister Mohammad Javad Zarif took to Facebook this week to condemn the use of chemical weapons, but he also said that the available evidence indicated the likely use of chemical agents by what he called extremist groups in Syria and questioned whether the threat to use force was a solution. The head of Iran's elite Revolutionary Guards warned today the US strike on Syria would trigger reactions beyond the borders of Syria, while the Iranian Army Chief of Staff has been quoted as singling out Israel for retaliation. Dr. Mansour Fahang is Professor of Political Science at Bennington College in Vermont in the US and joined us on the line from New York City. And Professor, firstly, what is your understanding of President Obama's decision to seek congressional approval?
I think this is really an excellent decision because both from the liberal and conservative perspective and the people in the United States who have diverse views on this matter, there should be a public debate. And the extent to which the Obama administration has evidence that the Syrian government has used chemical weapons, this evidence should be presented in a forum where the American people can actually make a decision. So I would say this is very consistent with Obama's position before he came to power, and I actually consider it to be a very progressive and rightful way to act.
If such military strikes, though, do go ahead against Syria, what's likely to be the reaction of Iran? I've given some of the views of Iranian political figures in my introduction. Which way will it go, do you think?
It's very interesting that Mr. Zarif immediately blamed the opposition and defended the Syrian government because he is in an insecure position and he did not want to say anything that Ayatollah Khamenei or the Revolutionary Guard leaders might object to. However, President Rouhani, who is actually still enjoying his honeymoon in Iran, he did not take a clear position about the responsibility. He condemned the use of chemical weapons and said we have to wait to see what kind of evidence we will find concerning responsibility. Iran so far has had absolutely no red line in supporting the Syrian regime. Iran's support for Syria, again, has been unconditional over the past 2.5-3 years, ever since the civil war started. But I happen to believe that if the United States attacks Syria militarily, it is virtually certain that Iran will not retaliate against an American or American ally target, simply because this means getting into war with Iran, and this is very inconsistent with the position of Iran over the past 24 years since Ayatollah Khamenei has been in power.
Dr. Fahang, many thanks. Dr. Mansour Fahang, Professor of Political Science at Bennington College in Vermont in the United States. You're listening to the BBC. I'm Julian Marshall with NewsHour. The UN's Human Rights Commissioner, Navi Pillay, sharply criticised the government of Sri Lanka after a week-long visit to former conflict zones in the north and east of the country. She accused the authorities of trying to harass and intimidate human rights workers, journalists and religious leaders. She told the BBC's Azam Amin in Colombo what action she planned to take to protect those people.
The first action I've done is to raise this very pertinently with the government and saying that this is just not proper, especially since they invited me and they were very cooperative in having me see everyone and go wherever I wish to go, that it follows then I must be free to meet people and people must be free to have access to me and to speak in confidence. So this, firstly, I alerted that to them. I intend to keep the focus on this, monitor the matter, and report such incidences in my report to the Human Rights Council.
What were the biggest disappointments in this visit?
Well, it's my first visit here. I think the trauma of conflict, and the fact that it still rains, that people are still suffering and weeping, is a disappointment. It's a disappointment that the LLRC recommendations have not been implemented fast enough. I think that some of them are very doable. Someone told me it should take under 9 months to implement those recommendations. These are disappointments. However, I do acknowledge that the government is making an effort, and I'm here to help them and support them in doing that.
During your visit, there have been a lot of protests going on against your visit, and there have been some remarks made by government ministers against you personally. How concerned and did you take up the matter with the Sri Lankan government?
I did take up with the government the fact that three or four MPs themselves made what I call highly offensive statements, and even statements to the effect that the UN is biased against Sri Lanka. I tried to put the record straight, and I do appreciate that the President apologized for some of the more obnoxious statements.
And final question, how well do you think post-war Sri Lanka under President Rajapaksa is progressing towards a society free of ethnic discrimination?
I have said in my statement today that winning the war is a success. It should be followed up as it was in my own country in South Africa under the leadership of President Mandela to build a unified nation, to attend to the rights of all, and to ensure that democracy flourishes. You have a good example in the youth parliament, and that's how it should be. We should have greater democracy and less autocracy.
That was the UN Human Rights Commissioner Navi Pillay speaking there in Colombo. Now, how's this for an innovative way of helping people during times of economic crisis? A restaurant where you can work to cover the cost of your meal. That's what's happening at La Trobada in the town of Terrassa near Barcelona. Some of those eating in the restaurant help out with the cooking, cleaning and serve tables. Our correspondent in Spain, Tom Burridge, has the story.
In the kitchen of La Trubada restaurant, they're preparing lunch. The restaurant employs four workers who have a fixed salary, including the two chefs here in the kitchen, Expecti and Adolfi. And the menu they're serving up today costs just €6.50 for a starter, a main, dessert, bread, water and wine. Every other member of staff in this Catalan restaurant is unemployed and they work here for free. Out in the restaurant, 26-year-old Estefania Lau is setting the tables. She's been out of work since she gave birth to her daughter 5 years ago. How difficult is it to find work at the moment?
Hombre, no hay nada.
There's nothing, replies Estefania. You send out your CV and no one replies, she says. By working for free here, Estefania and the vast majority of her colleagues eat here for free too. But she says they get much more than just food.
No es el hecho de que te den de comer. No, es el hecho de que sales, ellos mismos te ayudan a hacerte más grande.
It gives you self-esteem.
Sí, te la sube mucho. Sí, sí.
Son seis, empiezan seis ensaladas, sigue seis de pollo.
And then there's Jaume Olivares. How long were you unemployed before coming here?
Unemployed by a long time.
How long's a long time?
With a real job, 6 years.
6 years?
Yes.
And what was that like? I mean, being unemployed for such a long period of time?
You can find some kind of seasonal work.
In tourism or...?
Yes.
Temporary jobs in Spain are much easier to find, but finding those permanent jobs is extremely difficult now.
Yes, very, very difficult. People who find a job just right now, it's for days, for weeks, or months if you're lucky.
The restaurant is situated in this impressive-looking building with elaborate stonework and pillars at the main entrance. The building is owned by the local club for Castellers, the Catalan tradition of making human towers. So the Spanish charities that run the restaurant upstairs here don't have to pay any rent. The charities received nearly 100,000 euros to set up the project. And despite the fact that some of the customers work here to cover the cost of their food, the managers say the overall cost of running the restaurant in this, its first year, will be 60,000 euros more than the income from the paying customers.
Tom Burridge reporting from Spain. And we return to our top story, Syria, and a separate strand being pursued by President Obama seeking congressional approval for military strikes. The UN weapons inspectors are now back at their Dutch base after leaving Syria earlier on today. They'd originally been tasked with investigating previous suspected chemical weapons attacks, but instead zeroed in on the site of the August 21st attack after belatedly being given access by the Syrian government. The Americans say they already have their proof, but what will the UN inspectors have been able to gather in their 4 days of inquiries? I've been speaking to Hans Blinks, the former UN weapons inspector, who tried to find evidence of Iraq's weapons of mass destruction between 2000 and 2003.
I have not any information on how much they have collected by way of samples and so forth, but the techniques are fairly well known, and these are experienced people. They have been in hospitals, they have interviewed people, I guess they have taken samples from vegetation or from the ground, and they have seen people who are dead, perhaps, and people who have injured, and they've taken urine and blood and sent to. It's important to send to independent laboratories, and usually more than one laboratory that analyze. So I guess they are getting the response to that and are preparing the report to the Secretary General and Security Council.
I mean, there was quite a lot of delay before they were able to access the affected sites. That hasn't affected, in your view, the quality of the evidence that they will have collected?
Well, any evidence is best when it's fresh, but let's remember that the original agreement with Syria was about investigating incidents that had occurred even as far back as in March of this year. But if you take a substance like sarin, as I understand it, it's a fairly volatile, and therefore remnants, residues may not be so great. But it's not the only way, so I assume that they are familiar with the problems and are used all avenues.
And how long will it take the inspectors to be able to conclude what it is that they have found?
It depends upon what kind of laboratory test that they are getting. But I remember seeing in the early phase of the conflict someone from the Doctors Without Borders who said that the injuries that he saw pointed clearly to a use of nerve agent. And we have heard from the United States that they have, on their side, an enormous amount of evidence, and it may be that they have been better at the collection this time than they were in 2002 and 2003 before the Iraq War.
Are you saying, therefore, that given what John Kerry said yesterday and the conclusiveness, the Americans say, of their findings, that this mission by the UN chemical weapons inspectors is largely irrelevant?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think that's an arrogant attitude. The U.S. Evidence that they collect is welcome, but I think that the world is entitled to have evidence placed before the Security Council. And the Security Council and the U.N. has appointed its own independent inspectors and experts, and we should hear those. And then other countries who have evidence are welcome to bring that to the Security Council. Colin Powell did that once in the Iraqi conflict, and that turned out to be phony evidence. This time, in my view, it's likely that they have better evidence.
But the United States takes the view that if they pursue the UN Security Council route on the suspected use of chemical weapons by President Assad's government, they will run into, as they have in the past, the routine exercise of vetoes by China and Russia.
Well, I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. This is what they're saying, that the Russians and the Chinese are always standing against any action. But if they're willing to negotiate a bit with them, I don't think that's necessarily so. In the case of Libya, the Russians and the Chinese came around, and they go along with quite a number of peacekeeping operations. So I don't see a serious effort, a will, to come to a joint conclusion in the Council of the World.
Former UN weapons inspector Hans Blix. And while we've been on air, members of Congress have welcomed President Obama's decision to seek their backing for military intervention in Syria. The Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, said the president's role as commander-in-chief would be strengthened by it. A member of House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Committee, Elliot Engel, said he looked forward to a spirited debate. The British Prime Minister, David Cameron, who suffered a parliamentary defeat on Syria on Thursday, said he understood and supported Mr. Obama's position. And that's it from this edition of NewsHour. From me, Julian Marshall, and the rest of the team in London, goodbye. Looking.